Thank you for joining me. Let's pray. Pray the chaplet of divine mercy. And if you have a need, an intention, feel free to try to dial in. 888-914-9149. Put that in the speed dial. It's good every single day. You can use it for the chaplet and to join the conversation here. So I'll take a number of your calls here in just a second. I want to just lift up a couple prayer intentions that have just come into me as I'm getting ready here and I'm reading a few of these. Boy, a lot of suffering. A lot of people need God's mercy, that's for sure. This person said, could you pray for Brian? He's a young man who injured his leg in a motorcycle accident. From the injury, he developed an infection, and the doctors are telling him that he may need to have his leg amputated. Pray for healing to make the amputation unnecessary and for full recovery for physical and mental impact of the surgery. You know, here's the thing. St. Peregrine, I know we prayed to him for cancer. I often pray to him when somebody is in danger of amputation. You know, you might maybe have diabetes or some other ailment that might, they're saying, hey, we got to remove your foot or your toe or whatever it might be, your leg. He was supposed to have his leg amputated. He did such a harsh penance. He used to stand all the time as a form of penance. He got terrible varicose veins, and then he had an infection that entered into the leg, and the night before they were about to cut off his leg, he was before a crucifix, and Christ healed him. So turn to him. There's a lot more to that story. I'm giving you the thumbnail on that, but powerful saint. Here's another one. Drew, please pray. I fell down the stairs. I hit my head. I injured my back. I'm in the ER. I'm praying for a miracle. Thanks for the prayers. We're here for you. We're going to certainly pray for you. And I want to pray for a couple that I met today. I was in church and saw some people sitting there in the chapel. And they were visiting from Pennsylvania. And they listened to Relevant Radio. They prayed the chapel with us here. And they were visiting some of the great shrines. And as I was leaving, they said, could you pray for my husband that he'll stay cancer-free? Could you pray for my son, they said, who has cerebral palsy and that he may find health and safety, and that he'll be well taken care of after my husband and I are no longer alive. It's so hard for anyone who has a special need, child or loved one. What happens when you are gone? Let's pray for providence, and let's also pray for healing. Let's pray for miracles. Another intention, pray for my niece, Susan, that she may regain her mental and physical health. And then another intention came in saying, hey, would you pray for our daughter and her husband to return to church? We're asking that they be blessed with a pregnancy before the end of the year, resulting in a healthy delivery. We ask for God's healing hands on marriage, and that we raised that the children be raised in a happy, loving home. So the intentions go on. In the studio with me is Jen. Jen, good to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Anything you'd like to pray for?
Yes, I have the honor of collecting the prayer requests that come in through our website every day, and obviously, a lot of prayers right now for the people of Afghanistan, for relatives, sons, and other relatives, friends who are in the area or headed to the area. So I just want to lift up all the service people there for all the victims of the attack yesterday and for the whole situation in Afghanistan that people are taken care of, refugees are taken care of, that people stay safe. Yeah. And that can be resolved.
Such a great intention. Thank you for bringing that forward. And we'll certainly pray for that. I would ask you today if you could pray for me too. I don't often ask for prayers, but boy, I could certainly use them. I've got a special intention I'm asking God to give me some clarity on. And if you could, and direction. So if you could pray for me that God will you make very clear, you know, what he wants. And, you know, I asked him for a sign. I know sometimes we shouldn't do that, but sometimes I do, and he's given me some. I'll have to tell a story with you one time about a very vivid sign I specifically asked for that God gave me, but well, I know we have to pray. But pray for me, okay? I have an intention today that I need to resolve, okay? So it's really critical that the Lord will just make it very clear to me. All right? I appreciate your prayers. I need them. Believe me, I really do need your prayers, and I value them. Let's pray right now. All right, we'll pray for you as we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Ruth is waiting to pray with us. She's first up today. She's in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Ruth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would like to pray for a grandchild by the name of Morgan. She's had several miscarriages, and she would like to have a second child.
Well, let's pray for that. You know, I'm glad you called in with that intention. The couple I met in chapel was saying the same thing. And I'll share the email later because it's not in front of me here, but I was reading it this morning. Somebody wrote and asked me to keep their name anonymous, but they said that they were having trouble with fertility. And they were praying and praying. They read my book, and they said, look, I'm going to trust in Jesus. And they read about the power of the chaplet. In this, I talked about all the miracles that unfold, from protection and violent storms, from tornadoes to cancer to marriage, you name all these things. So they said, you know what? We had a new awakening when it came to the power of this prayer. So they began to pray the chaplet specifically for the cause of having a child. And she wrote to me to say, Drew, once we began that, I'm proud to announce I am pregnant. So that fertility issue that she was going through is no more. She is pregnant with her child. So I want to give God thanks for answering these prayers. And Ruth, I want to pray for you and for those intentions. I want to pray for anyone who's having fertility issues, any complications in pregnancy. I want to pray for those mothers who have made the mistake of abortion, that they can feel God's infinite love and mercy and know how much he loves them and wants to embrace them and forgive them. And I want to pray for that mother who's contemplating ending that life. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Kevin's praying with us in Yonkers, New York. Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Drew, just pray for an end to vaccine mandates. My wife's in a hospital right now. Uh-huh. They're giving her September 1st to get vaccinated. I'm a New York City school teacher. A lot of people pushing back.
Wow.
Also, forgiveness for our enemies that are putting these mandates on us. My wife Ann and I have had 6 miscarriages. Oh, we've had dreams of having another child. And also for my friend Paul, who's suffering cancer, and all the people in Afghanistan right now. Take the cancer away from my friend Paul. Thank you very much.
Kevin, I'm going to be praying for you, okay? Pray for that child that God has in store for you. And we'll pray for your wife and for you, and grateful for good teachers. Lord, I give you all of Kevin's intentions right now, but I want to pray in particular his friend with cancer and anyone who has cancer. Lord, be merciful to these souls. Let your presence be felt. I pray for miracles. I pray also for, again, today, when this happens, I just feel the Spirit's going to be moving. Lord, I pray for those really seeking children, those who are looking for that adoption to come through, looking for the finances they need to make that happen. I want to pray for Lord, those people who struggle with fertility, that you will bless them with the gift of life. So I really pray for that. And I give every one of Kevin's intentions for his wife, for his job, for all, for COVID-19, Lord, that we can get back to life. And I just ask for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. The next call comes from Donna in Sparks, Nevada. Donna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for your ministry. I tried to call in last Friday when they took my aunt to hospital in Las Vegas. She's 94. Her husband of 55 years, John, has been taking care of my aunt Olga for 5 years, who has dementia, Alzheimer's.
Oh, no.
She passed away Pacific time this morning, 10:30. She wasn't able to have any children. She has many children, California, Nevada, Arizona, Florida. Yeah. We were her children. We miss her dearly. But my uncle needs the prayers. He needs the prayers. And thank you, all my prayer warriors at church and who are listening now. Thank you for praying for us and the family. God bless you.
God bless you, Donna. We're going to pray for you. You're part of our family here, too. You know, we're all one. We might be separated by geography, but we're united in the Lord. So let's pray. Let's pray for you. Lord, I give you all those who mourn. Your heart was moved by those who mourned many times. You raised the widow's son. You raised your friend Lazarus. And Lord, I just pray right now for those who mourn. Comfort them in your mercy. And I pray for Donna, and I pray for the repose of her aunt. I pray for all those approaching the hour of death. I pray for those who've gone before us and who languish now in purgatory. But I pray for those who've lost loved ones and are heartbroken, like her uncle. And I just ask for your mercy. I just ask that can be the balm and the ointment, the remedy for the deep wound of loss as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next decade... Do you have Twitter or no, Maggie?
I do, yeah.
All right, so let me bring Maggie in before I take Donna in Philly.
Sure.
What are people asking for prayers for?
So first of all, we had a caller call in and say that they've heard Paul a number of times call in for his eyesight. And this listener said that they, too, are losing their eyesight, and they had begun to lose faith in their prayer request, and that hearing Paul's persistence has given them renewed faith.
I love that guy. Paul from Milwaukee has been calling forever for his vision. And you talk about persistence.
I mean,
that is a man who is like St. Monica, who is constantly going to the Lord asking for the fruit of that prayer. I think God's going to hear his prayers. I really do.
I think so, too. And we have a number of other requests here on Twitter. Adriana is asking for her son's spiritual healing. Mary's asking prayers for her neighbor's son who is missing. Police believe a non-custodial parent has taken him. Mm. His name is John Paul, so please pray for him. Today is the anniversary of Joe's mom's passing, so please pray for the repose of her soul. Sylvia is praying that her anxiety will go away, and she wants to pray for anyone else that suffers from anxiety. Bernadette is praying for John and sobriety. Eileen is praying for her aging parents and that they might regain strength. And I'd like to just pray a personal petition for my mom, for her health and peace.
Let's pray for all those intentions. Thank you. We'll pray for your mother. I do want to pray for those with anxiety. It's crippling. I know so many people who, gosh, who it's short-circuiting. I really think God's mission for them in their life. And I just ask God for mercy in that area. Donna in Philadelphia, thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Drew. I'm calling for my father-in-law, who's 96 years old, and he's on hospice, and right now he is actively dying, and we don't expect him to live through the night. And I would also like prayers for my father. This is his the anniversary of his death also. So I'm lifting them both up.
I'm so glad you got through. I'm glad your call made it. Let's pray for both of them right now, for your father-in-law, Jim, who's dying. And we'll pray for a holy and peaceful death. We all make the transition to eternity, but we'll ask the Lord come as a merciful Savior to him. But I do want to pray for all who are passing right now, and pray for the hour of our own death. And I share this with you over and over again. The Lord talked to Faustina about how the mercy, his mercy flows from his heart, upon the whole world. But he said, pray as much as you can for the dying. That hour of death is so critical. Pray for it. They need it. They need our prayers, because sometimes they have such little trust. They need it the most then. But the Lord also promised to be their protector, their intercessor between the Father. So, Lord, I give you these souls, and I give you the hour of our own death as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes. Linda, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I'm just calling for some friends of mine. Pam and John have gotten COVID, and it's affected John worse. He had to go into the hospital, and he's had trouble with his breathing and his lungs. Okay. And then a friend of mine's husband had a reaction to the vaccine in March, and ever since says he wants to die. So I want to pray for him.
All right. Well, let's pray for them. I'm glad you got through. Let's pray for these intentions. I want to pray for all your personal intentions, too. I noticed you didn't pray for anything. And Lord, I just ask you to read Linda's heart. I re-echo that for everyone who's now united with me in prayer. I just ask that our concerns, you know our desires, you know the problems that we are facing, you know the lack of trust that so many souls have. And I just ask that you be merciful in this moment to all those souls right now, Lord, that you hear in a special way their prayers, and that your mercy wash upon them. The Lord has told us that prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. St. Faustina said, prayer is the key to God's heart. And you have to speak to the Lord really with your heart. So, Lord, we give you our hearts now. We trust in your mercy. We thank you for the way that you are working as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
Father Seraphim Michalenko.
Pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, if you are praying for the conversion, somebody you really love. I mean, you must. We all have people in our lives. Trust me. I have them in mind. You're praying for conversion for them. You know, you feel your prayers aren't being answered. Stay with me. Maggie Green's going to join me when we come back. The next conversation is not a conversation about that person. It really is about you. And I invite you to join the conversation. If you're struggling in this area, if you feel your prayers aren't being heard, if you've been praying a long time for that spouse of yours to convert or a kid that's away from the faith, I really hope you'll hang out with me, okay? The number here to get in, 888-914-9149. I'm grateful for your prayers. Please continue to pray for me. I need them, okay? I'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
All things current. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. Such a delight to pray. Don't you love that prayer? You might be new to the program, only listening to me for a short while. Every afternoon at that same time, I pray the chaplet. I invite you to join me. I invite you to do this. Please tell just one other person about it. Somebody going through a difficult time, they're going to find a lot of hope. They're going to find the fruit of the prayer. You're going to say, and plus you have an army of people. You have a family. Think how many thousands of people are praying for one another. I mean, I think it's one of the world's biggest prayer meetings every day. I love it. Come together and petition the Lord. You know, one of the intentions we always pray for, and an intention that I know God always hears and answers, I am absolutely convinced of this, is the prayer of conversion. You know, my own father was a man who had his foibles, had his weaknesses. He had a compulsion for gambling. He liked to drink. He had suffered with alcoholism. My mother was a great warrior. I mean, she reminds me so much of today's saint, Saint Monica, because my mother, she would always have a rosary in her hand. She always would pray, and she prayed for the conversion of my father, whose conversion was so profound. He left the world of broadcasting that he was in. He was a radio broadcaster. He had an unbelievable voice. I mean, so gifted, and became he started doing Catholic radio. Formed one of the first Catholic radio programs in the city of Philadelphia under the late John Cardinal Kroll. I mean, he was a pioneer in that field before Catholic radio ever took root like it did today. And I remember growing up as a young boy thinking, that's the last thing I ever want to do. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, here I sit telling my father's story, right? God, he's got a great sense of humor. He really, really does. You know, you think you know what you want. You think you've got plans. sit back, you know, strap up, put on the seatbelt, and the Lord will take you for a ride. But, you know, I was always impressed by my mother's perseverance. She had profound faith in the power of prayer. And so did another woman. And we remember her today. In fact, in a few moments, Maggie Green's going to be stopping by. You might be praying for somebody, right? And really struggling with those prayers for the conversion of that person. You might be ready to give up. Our conversation with Maggie Green is not going to be about that person you're praying for. It's really going to be about you. But if you don't know who St. Monica is, right, if you're not familiar with her, we have two great feast days today. We have St. Monica, this paragon of prayer and patience, right, of perseverance and of trust. And then we have the fruit of her prayer. We have her son, Augustine, who was a wild child, a playboy, fathering illegitimate children, right? He was giving gifts that he squandered, an intellect that was, you know, just unbelievable. Used it for all the natural, temporal, carnal pleasures, you know, that the world can possibly offer us, you know, but never really fulfill us. You're always restless. And Augustine would eventually write about that. You know, he'd say how his heart is, you know, it's restless until it rests with the Lord. That's where true peace is ultimately found. Her prayers brought about the conversion of her son. It took a long time and a lot of suffering and a lot of tears. But if you don't know their stories, let me do this. I'll share with you just a quick snippet of these two extraordinary saints, and then we'll talk, all right? Check this out.
St. Monica will always live in the shadow of her more famous son, the great St. Augustine. He is the authority most quoted in the Catechism. He is the church father most cited by the great St. Thomas Aquinas. He is revered by many as the greatest of all the church fathers. But where would he be without his mother? Well, just ask Augustine. He declared that she didn't labor just once to give birth to him. She did it twice. Once in the delivery room, and later in her struggle to bring him back to the practice of the Catholic faith. You see, Augustine was a problem child who strayed far from his Christian roots. He was a young prodigy, one of the most promising intellectuals of his time, and no one was more impressed by Augustine than Augustine. He was ready to move beyond the religion of his mother. After all, she was an illiterate peasant, and her Bible was full of barbaric stories. So while he was at college, he began to study the trendy Eastern mysticism of the Manichaeans, and he dabbled in their occult practices. Not only that, he left behind the Christian morals he had learned from his mother. He moved in with his girlfriend, and soon he got her pregnant. And they never married. Monica, of course, was heartbroken. She prayed passionately for her son, with tears. She sought spiritual counsel from priests and bishops. She even packed her bags and followed Augustine as his career took off. Nothing seemed to work. But she kept praying as she followed him from North Africa to Rome and then to the imperial court in Milan. There, at last, Augustine fell under the influence of Christian philosophers in the preaching of the Bishop St. Ambrose. Now, once converted, he came to a deep appreciation of his mother's faith. He called her his master in philosophy. He called himself her disciple. And in his memoirs, he portrays her as a great mystic, achieving by grace what the greatest pagan philosophers couldn't achieve by their heroic efforts. In St. Monica, we especially see the power of perseverance in the life presented to us in the Bible and the Church Father.
That's such a great piece. I love that. I want to thank St. Paul Center for that. And what an inspiration Monica is for all of us, right? What an inspiration. Of course, she's the model of perseverance. Her feast day is today. Pray. Ask her to intercede for you, okay? Turn to her and say, look, I need help. I need the conversion of my spouse. I need the conversion of my sibling. I need the conversion of my child. Let's pray also beyond our small little sphere. Let's pray for the conversion of our enemies. Let's pray for the Taliban and for ISIS. Let's pray for China and Russia. Let's pray for those who have nefarious intentions. Let's pray for those who hate God and hate life. All right? Let's do that. We're part of the communion, this wonderful communion of saints. We'll call upon the communion of saints right now and ask them to intercede for us. But, you know, I love Monica because her perseverance paid off, not just for her, but as you heard in that piece, for the whole church. If you want to learn more, Augustine, St. Augustine, he recorded a conversation. He wrote one of his great works is called Confessions. It's really a prayer, if you will. It starts as a prayer, but he recorded a conversation in his confessions that he had with his mother shortly before his death, and she told him this. She said, "Son, as far as I'm concerned, nothing in this life gives me any pleasure. And I do not know why I'm even still here. I have no further hopes in this world. I did have one reason for wanting to live a little longer, and that was to see you become a Catholic before I died. God has lavished his gifts on me that I respect, for I know that you have even renounced earthly happiness to be a servant. So if it hadn't been for her persistence, that conversation probably would not have happened, and we wouldn't have things like that beautiful work, Confessions, or his theory on just war theory, along with all these other philosophical and theological advances that people still read and follow today. The other great church doctor, Aquinas, as you heard in that piece there, often quoted Augustine. It was prayer that brought about his conversion, right? It was prayer that brought about his conversion. So if you have a child or a family member's left the faith, I want to recommend a book, and I also invite you into this conversation. Pull up a chair. We'd love to talk with you, okay? The book is called The St. Monica Club. Now, we had given it away during our pledge drive, but you can still get it. It's still available, and it's a must-read. It's a book where you're going to learn how to follow the example of St. Monica, whose prayers, whose tears, whose witness led to this incredible conversion, right? And just, I want to be clear, this is not a book on how you can win your prodigal child back, okay? That's not what this book is about. It's a book on how you have to wait for them, how it's okay, you know, to pray. It's okay to plant those seeds. It's okay to labor in the vineyard without necessarily witnessing the harvest. Maybe you won't see it, but I can guarantee you, and I stand on this 1,000%, that soul, the soul of your loved one, is going to receive grace, the grace to come to know God. And I've seen it in my own life on so many different levels with friends and with family. Prayer changes things. Prayer and sacrifice bring about conversion. All right, I'm joined today by Maggie Green. She has written that book, and it's such a delight to have her. She was with me last week. And as I said, the book's not about winning your prodigal family member back. It's how to wait on them. It's how to walk the walk, endure the storm, you know, how to see light at the end of it. And the book, if you want it, it's available at sophiainstitute.com. That's the publisher of the book. Maggie, good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me back on this very special feast day. I'm very glad to be here.
What a great day. St. Monica's at work. I know she's allowed you to be her representative. You're really drawing a lot of people, giving a lot of people hope. You know, Maggie, let's start on this point. So many people, they get frustrated with the fact that their kids have left the practice of the faith. You know, they've instilled good values in them, and culture is a powerful place, and the children lose their way, and they pray, and the kids just don't seem to be affected by those prayers. And I know it can be incredibly frustrating for those parents. I know your book is not about a quick fix, not about how to get them back. It's really about, walking the walk. Give us some insight. There's a lot of parents right now, a lot of loved ones, spouses, and others who are saying, I just want to stop praying. I don't see the fruit of it. What do you say to them?
Well, for God, all times are now. So the fact that, yes, we all wanted to have happened yesterday so we could stop praying, but that's exactly what we're not to be doing. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. So if we view the conversion of our child as we did that, put that merit badge on, we're good, we don't have to do any more praying, then we've missed the whole point of both our faith and wanting theirs. So it's a case of when we're praying for somebody else because we want them back, we are practicing for eternity. The saints are very busy in heaven, and we're practicing to become saints.
Yeah.
So as for the discouragement, that's the devil's attempt to not have the next St. Augustine.
Yeah.
I look at it that way.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, I often think about St. Monica. We look, you know, we often polish our saints up, right? They were flawed people too, you know, and, you know, I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of trust. I'm a man of prayer. I believe in all those things. But like everybody else, I mean, there's times my faith wanes. There's times my trust is weak. There's times, gosh, I just can't pray. And, you know, we look at St. Monica, we think, oh, she never stopped. She was so persistent. What an inspiration. Did she ever lose heart? And if she did, how did she resolve that?
Well, I mean, she wept a lot. She went and gave alms. She gave food at the churches. At one point, the priest kind of got annoyed with her and told her to go home. she would ask bishops and priests to talk to her son, and one even told her that he wasn't ready.
Wow.
And so it wasn't a case of, you know, her persistence was over time, and but we only get the snapshots that we get from St. Augustine. So we get that, that's where we get to know, that's how we know St. Monica at all, is through, yep, St. Augustine's confessions. She also, her piety converted not just her son. Keep in mind, she also converted her husband, who was originally prohibited them from being baptized.
Yep.
And also her mother-in-law, who was notably not terribly kind to her. Also even some of her servants who would get her into trouble with her husband or her mother-in-law by spreading rumors.
Right.
So yeah. she really suffered.
Yeah.
And what she learned to do was to turn all that into prayer and witness.
Yeah.
And it won over hearts. And that's why she, you know, she really did do this for 17 years.
Wow.
And that's something we, you know, we'd like it done yesterday, because
yeah,
we all would.
Yeah, you know, I shared the story last time you were on last week. There may be some people who don't remember to hear it, but I shared the story of an uncle that I have. And I think of Monica for 17 years. And I want to speak to any parent that's out there, or any sibling, or any, you know, anyone who is just praying and praying, and you're thinking, gosh, I've been at this forever and I don't see anything. I had an uncle who, he was married, he got divorced, he never really went to church. You know, my mother was always incredibly devout, and my grandmother, she was equally as devout, would always pray for the conversion of her son, right? And years go by, and this my grandmother would pray and pray and pray for my uncle, and she saw nothing, no conversion at all. Ended up moving in with another woman, the whole type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think he thought that the whole sit, stand, kneel thing was kind of ridiculous, you know. And what ended was happening, my grandmother died, and her tears and her rosaries and her prayers, she never saw the conversion of the son. And she prayed for, I don't know how many years, 15 years, 20 years. I don't know. It was probably longer than that. But my mother never stopped praying. She continued to pray for him. And one day, to her amazement, he had a profound conversion. And I won't go into all the details of the conversion for the sake of time here, but he had such a radical conversion that today this man is attending daily mass. He's leading Bible studies. He's leading the rosary. He can't get enough spiritual literature. I'm sending him books all of the time. He's in his 80s now. He is in his 80s. So did my grandmother see the fruit of the prayer? No. Did God honor the fruit of her prayer? Yes. You know, and, you know, she may never see it. You may never see it. But I guarantee, and I stand on that, that we will see this. You know, St. Faustina wrote in her diary that the fruit of conversion, you know, sometimes conversion demands sacrifice. And, you know, sometimes it requires a lot of time, a lot of years. You know, a lot of people think I got to do X amount of novenas for this to happen. What would you say? I mean, what's the best way to persist? Because then we can pray novenas, but there's a lot of other ways that we can reach the throne of God too, can't we, Maggie?
Oh, there's as many ways as there are saints and devotionals. There's, you know, people do it on the rosary. They do the chaplet. Some people do mini fasts. Some people, you know, maybe pick a particular mystery of the rosary, and they dedicate that one. So whenever they say that particular, like they say the sorrowful mysteries, and the person that they love has an intellectual fight with the church, for example, then they might pick the crown of thorns as the mystery that they dedicate for the conversion of that particular person. Pick a particular saint that they say the prayers of on a daily basis. It's really as individualized as your relationship with that person. Look for what connects you and that person and the faith life. You know, look at their confirmation faith, if they're confirmed. Look at their baptismal name. Look for who, you know, maybe their profession, the saint that would honor it. that would help them.
I love it.
And pray for them for graces. And that's what you do. And as for persistence, you know, ask, when you feel dry, just offer that dryness up. You know that that too is a gift. That's the best I can tell you.
No, I'm with you. And Maggie, you know, the other thing I would throw in the mix is fasting. You know, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, I mean, sacrifice, all those things.
Yes.
I mean, God hears our prayers. He wants the conversion of our loved one more than we do. He wants them with him.
He wants the one sheep to come back with the 99. He wants them all. Yeah. And that is exactly it. It's that God wants this more than we do.
Yeah.
And when we have that longing and that ache, we are participating in Christ's agony of the garden when he's longing for all the souls that he's trying to bring back home.
Yes, for sure. My guest today, Maggie Green, and maybe you're going through a difficult time right now. Give us a call. We'd love to hear about that. Maybe you've prayed a long time. I'd love to hear the fruit of your prayer. You moms that are out there, you dads, you siblings, your spouses. Did you pray? Have you seen a radical conversion in somebody you love? I'd love to hear those stories. I think they help to inspire. The Lord does leave the 99 to go after and come back after the one. And I know your prayers help to bring that about. We'll talk more right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
I'm not holding a small cup, Drew. I'm handing holding an extra large cup.
A bucket.
Every weekday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Okay, thanks for joining us. You tell someone about the show. If you find yourself inspired, motivated, moved, better informed, educated, get them plugged in. I'm here every afternoon from 12 to 3 Pacific, 3 to 6 Eastern, 2 to 5 Central. You can do the math and set your watch by it. I try to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. And every day it's a mixed bag. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about when the morning begins. And sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. That's for sure, right? I'm sure many people probably think that, Maggie. What the heck is he talking about? I totally disagree with this guy. One thing I am confident, and I know what I'm talking about, is the power of God's grace and conversion. You know, and I know that God loves you, but he loves those you love even more than you possibly could. And prayerfully, one day we'll be perfectly united in that love. Those that God has put in your life, and with our divine Creator. If you are, if you shed some tears for somebody you love, if you are struggling, if you're praying and you're not seeing the fruit of it, speaking today with an author of a book. Her name is Maggie Green. She wrote a book called The Saint Monica Club: How to Wait, Hope, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved One. And this is not a book. It's not one of those books like, oh, you do X, Y, and Z. Here's 50 tips on how to win your loved one back. No, this is a book on how to wait for them and to be okay, you know, planting the seeds, blowing on the embers of beauty that's in their life. And I was just having a conversation with my guest during the break with Maggie, and she said that. I thought it was such a beautiful way, in addition to adoration and prayer and all the other things we talk about doing. But she says, you know, I want to blow on the embers of the beauty that God's put in their life. Maggie, before I go to the phones, I want to take Rose's call and everyone else's. Speak to that, because so often, I know we pray. I think the worst thing we can sometimes do is beat people over the head with catechism quotes and scripture and, you know, you just do with theological arguments. I don't think you win anyone with arguments. You win them with personal witness, and you win them above all with love by planting those seeds, letting them know where you stand, but being there to love them. I know so many parents who got kids who are married outside the church, and it's a struggle because sometimes they say, I won't go to the wedding. I think you have to let your kids know where you stand on those type of issues, right? But you also have to let them know that you love them, you know, and those can be tough situations. So let's speak about blowing on the embers of beauty that God put in their life, because I think that's something people totally miss. We know all the spiritual things we need to do, but speak to that.
Well, speaking to that is that every child of God has come equipped with gifts that are designed to build up the kingdom of God. And even if the child has walked away, they still have those gifts. And so look for what those are. Identify those talents, those charisms, those unique things that they've been given,
and encourage and promote them, even if it's in a secular manner. Or, you know, if the person has a gift of hospitality or the gift of being artistic or the gift of singing or whatever it might be, those are gifts that can lead them back. Not because you're doing a manipulation, but because you're recognizing authentically gifts that they've been given, talents that they have. And that sounds strange, but it's not, it's true. We discover more of who we are the more we use our gifts. And so that's a way of relating to a person authentically about what they love and what they're interested in. And that's part of how often we find ourselves in love with God, is through the exploration of the gifts he's given.
Yeah, so well said. Let's go to the phones. Take a quick call or two. Rose is listening in Chula Vista, California. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Hi, Rose.
Hey, you know, hi, Maggie. I love the idea that you are promoting this book because I belong to a prayer group of 11 other ladies, and they are all praying for family members to come back to the church. And aww. I called especially because, yeah, you're encouraging us, and I got something encouraging to tell them, too. I got a phone call this morning that my niece is going to have her 2.5-year-old son baptized. Oh. I've been praying ever since the kid was born.
Oh,
and she's wow. got now she's got a 2-month-old son, and she's going to baptize them together.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, that is fantastic! What a cascade of joy! That's fantastic! Oh,
Rose, thanks now, for sharing that.
Oh, and I'm still working on 3 more great grandchildren. And my son.
Yeah, see, you're not done.
So mate, yes, and St. Monica, she rocked.
Amen to that, Rosie. Yes. So do you, Rose. So do you. You rock, too. I love that.
Fantastic.
The power of a prayer, you know, and God often gives us these inspirations, too. Sometimes you'll see the fruit of your prayer. I'm convinced of it. I know you and I, Maggie, had spoken in the past just about Scripture. I mean, the Lord gives us hope, and so often we worry about our loved one in their final moments. I mean, there are people, you know, St. Faustina, who was a recipient of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the great message of mercy, the Lord came to her and told her how critical it is that we pray for souls at the hour of their death. And I can think of so many people who've lived their entire life wayward, you know, just totally away from God. Yes. And on their deathbed, you're saying, oh my gosh, this person is doomed. It's not so with God's mercy. And he says our prayers sometimes in that final moment is so important for their eternal salvation. Souls are saved by the power of our prayer. And I know that we got the great example of Dismas on the cross, right? He lived a life without Christ, but that's one of my favorites. Speak to that. Speak to those last-minute conversions, that great parable of the talons we just had.
Yeah, it's not a case that, you know, we're not, you know, the power of the talents, also the parable of the vineyard, of the workers in the vineyards, where the person who comes in the last hour is given the same wages as the person who labored the whole day in the heat. For those of us who are praying for someone, we're going to be psyched that somebody gets the same reward for showing up at the 5 o'clock hour. We want, you know, we'll take it. We'll be ecstatic if they come in the 5 o'clock hour, or like St. Didymus, they die in friendship with Christ. That's what we want them to have, because after death is eternity.
Yeah.
So all we got to do is get to the eternity. That's what we want.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It doesn't matter whether we lived our entire life, you know, with God. I think if I shared the story of my uncle and I shared with others, okay, a lot of years have gone by without the sacraments, you know, without some of the grace that you could have had. But God loves us. Life is a journey towards our eternal home. And, you know, he's reaching out to us to our final breath.
Matter, and it's not that it doesn't matter what we do. It's that we will rejoice when it happens.
That's
and
right.
That's kind of, I don't want to confuse anyone by saying it doesn't matter and you can just wait till the umpteenth hour and say, oh, I'm going to die in 1 minute. So here we go. I want, you know, but more just that we are to pray for that hour, whenever that hour comes.
Well,
at that moment.
I'll tell you what, I don't think I have time for that card. I'll tell Brian to hold. Brian, I'll grab you on the other side. My guest today, if you're just tuning in, is Maggie Green. She wrote a book. I want to make sure I put this on your radar before we run out of time here. It's called The St. Monica Club, How to Wait, Hope, Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved Ones. And it's been published by Sophia Institute Press. And you can check it out. I'm sure you can do a search and find it in any Catholic bookstore, anywhere you want to go. But It's a book, as I said, it's not about how to convert that wayward person or to get that child baptized. It really is how to endure the storm, if you will, you know, how to persist as St. Monica did. And I really encourage you to pick it up. I think it'll be a good inspiration. Maybe give it to somebody who is struggling in that area. Hey, Maggie, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a delight to have you with us. It really is. Keep up your good work. You're working on any new books?
I am, but it's slow going.
All right. Well, we'll pray for you. I know you told me you spent a lot of time in adoration, so
yes.
You know, I'm sure we'll get that inspiration there. Hey, would you pray for me, too? I have a special prayer need today.
Absolutely.
And if you could say a prayer for me. I know you're a prayer warrior, so I'm grateful for that. All right, Maggie, thanks.
Okay.
We'll catch up soon. Okay? All right, God bless you. Maggie Green. And again, check out the book, The St. Monica Club. We gave it away during our pledge drive. And by the way, just as a side note, thank you. I really want to thank you for your generosity during the pledge drive. I mean, we had a record pledge drive. And you, in this particular hour, always just blow the socks off our goals. And it's amazing. I would thank you because this has been such a strong hour every pledge drive. But you're merciful and you're prayerful and you're generous. And I love that. And we had a record-breaking pledge drive. So if you missed that, just wanted to let you know. Stay with me. We'll be back. I'll share with you another story. Pick up Brian and your call.